Good evening, everyone. Again, this is W2TTT, and we're going to use the call sign of K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo tonight, which is the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. And our tech net is open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to operate in the 2-meter amateur radio band. We hope that you will participate, whether or not you have a question or a comment. It's kind of helpful for us to know who's there in order to provide answers that make sense to those who might be listening, and also, frankly, you might find yourself an impromptu resource on the net should we know you're there. So, the way this net works is that we call for your call sign, your name. We ask for your whether you have a question or a comment. You can say both, or you can say none of the above to that. And you can pretty much talk about anything you want in amateur radio. What's really nice about this is that amateur radio encompasses a lot of things, so it's electronics, computers, telecommunications, things in our society that depend on these things, even. So feel free to jump right in with pretty much any subject that comes to mind, as long as you can tie it back to our core technologies. So, with no further ado, let's get started. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
KB2XT, John, with a question.
Welcome back 2 weeks in a row, John. Now we went over a year without an A call of any kind, and now we've got you back twice. That's great. Welcome aboard with your question. Any other Alpha stations? Alrighty, a little problem with a cable here. So let's see. We'll get to you in a minute, Mr. John. And are there any stations whose call signs begin with Whiskey? Please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK. No questions.
Calling. I have a question. Okay, I got Don with no question. Good evening to you, Don. And I got Charlie, WE2R, with a question. Very good. No problem. Any other Whiskey stations? Please call K2BA.
K2EWL, Ken. No questions, no comments for the time being.
Evening, Ken. I'm glad you made it. That's awesome. Greetings to New York, as it were. Alrighty. And any other Whiskeys? Okay. So, how about the November stations?
W2, Oscar, Echo Lima.
Noel, do you have a question or a comment for the net?
No question.
Well, it's good to hear you. Very good. And any other November stations?
NS2K, Jim. No question.
Now I got something for you to ponder. Barra Picnic and Ramapo Rally, same day. Ouch. Anyway, you don't need to even discuss it here, but I just thought I'd mention it. Ouch. Anyway, good evening, Jim. Any other November stations? Okie doke. Right now we're going to break this group down a little differently. Kilo twos.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. No questions, just a comment.
Good evening, Jim. I got your comment. And that is a good thing. Anyway, let's see. Any other Kilo 2s?
2BAR, this is K2AMI, Tony, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Tony. Very good. Any other kilos of any kind?
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Romeo Yankee, over.
Good evening, Jim, K2BRY, do you have any questions or comments on that?
Question.
Gotcha. We'll forward the fact you have a question. Any other kilos?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave, one question.
Okay, Dave, very good. And got your question boarded. Any other kilos? Okay, any other stations wishing to check in via radio? Local radio on the repeater, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K22FTP Stewart. No questions, no comments.
Hey, Stewart, good hearing you. Haven't heard you in a bit. And always good to hear you. Any other kilos or any other stations? Okay, anybody via Echolink, anybody via Echolink, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, so, we have questions. AB2XT, John, your question, sir.
Good evening to everyone, and Gordon also. Over the July 4 weekend, I built a little tiny receiver out of a QST article. And the article was an ultra simple W1AW receiver, small regen, uses a color burst, purple, and so on. Now they call it ultra simple. I put it together, and it had a few head scratches, but I did get it to oscillate. However, I can't get it to tune in the 80 meter W1AW broadcast. One of my questions is on a simple or on a regen receiver. Does anybody know whether there, as you turn the regen knob, should there be a point where it does not oscillate at all, and then at some point it kicks in? Because what mine does is it oscillates continuously. I get it to go stronger or less strong, but it never goes to, let's say, DC out back to that.
Well, that's interesting. I'm wondering if you just don't have enough ability to, you know, to create the swing. How much variability in the frequency are you getting?
The thing is the rock bound. You use a color burst frequency as the reference oscillator, I guess. I'm not really sure of the... I understand DC conversion, and I understand this is sort of a direct conversion design, but I'm a little new to the regen idea. But it has a tank circuit that is tuned for... 3.579, but you're supposed to be picking up 3.518, I guess it is. 3.5815, about 2,000 hertz away. So there's really no variability in the frequency. You just simply get it to oscillate or not oscillate with the control pod, as far as I can tell. But again, I'm not that sharp on regen.
Right, well, okay, so there's two things going on here. One is, at 2,000 hertz away, you may not hear the signal that you're trying to hear. You're just not going to. Realistically, it's going to be very high-pitched, and it may not be what you're looking for. I mean, you might hear it, but... And then there's the question of enough feedback to make the regenerative circuit work. You're saying it gets stronger but never stops oscillating. That's puzzling to me. It sounds to me like you have the ability to get some feedback into the system, but perhaps there's something else going on there. There's no signal to beat against. I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since I used a regen receiver, and I never used it for CW, so I'm going to punt this one to K2ZO.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. It's been a long time. I do remember the fact that as you advance the pot on the regenerative receiver, it will then start to break in into oscillation. And then you backed it down to just at that point where it was about to break in oscillation, where the thing was the most sensitive. So, John, the answer is I think it definitely is supposed to stop oscillating. But who knows? Maybe something got cross-connected there. Back to that.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, John, is this a regenerative or is this a direct conversion? That's the thing. If it's got a crystal in it, that the local oscillator controls the frequency, and it's supposed to kick out 3579 point something, and theoretically you can wiggle that crystal a little bit. Sometimes they have the ability to vary the crystal frequency on a direct conversion. This is, I'm assuming this thing is a direct conversion receiver because it has a crystal. And for that reason, I think I recall seeing that in the a couple years ago in an article in QST, if I'm not mistaken. Is this from a QST article? Maybe we could start with that information. Over.
This is ABQST. Yeah, it's from a QST article. Hold on just a second. It's from May 1997.
Maybe you got it wrong.
Okay, May 97. Is this a direct conversion?
No, it's a regen. It's one of these, you know, the guy named Kitchen. He seems to be a specialist in this world. He likes to do those. It's supposed to be a regenerative. The way it works is it's only got two transistors, and then it's got an LM386 amplifier for the audio. The first transistor is a common base amplifier picking up the RF from the antenna. The second one has a hand-wound coil, 12 turns, primary, 4 turns, tickler. It's a hookup wire on basically a pill bottle or a 35-millimeter can. And then tapped into the base of this thing is a 3.579 megahertz crystal. It fixes it at that one frequency or pretty near to it. And then what they do to get the regeneration going is the emitter of the second transistor has anywhere from a minimum of 1K of, a degenerated resistor up to, there's a 50K pot in there, so you can be anywhere from 1K to 50K, basically. Back to that.
Some of his designs. I think I have to look at that. I have that magazine down the cellar, and I'll look at that in a couple of minutes. Have you any other kind of HF gear that you could monitor the exact frequency that thing is oscillating at?
I listen to it on a general coverage receiver. And it comes in, I can't tune by the numbers better than 1K on that thing. But it comes in at 3.579, so it's right at the color burst frequency, the oscillation of the transistor in the tank coil.
Okay, well, unless you've got some kind of an audio filter in there, you should hear 2,000 cycles away. 35, 79, 80, 81. Yeah, you should. I would think you'd hear them. They put out a strong signal when they're on the air. And once it's oscillating, you should hear it, unless it's so overpowering in the oscillation that it drowns itself out, so to speak.
Okay, so maybe I should also look at the other part, the front end. Maybe I've got something miswired on the antenna circuit. There's just nothing coming in. That's a possibility, too.
All right. Yeah, that's always good to check things over and check your SATA connections, too. They say anybody builds things, people that make kits, and if people send the kits back, the biggest problem a lot of people have with solder connections, not that that would may be your case, but so it never helps, never hurts. I've had that happen here. So anyway, I'm going to go down the cellar and look up for some more information on this. I should be back in a few. This is W2JK.
To the cellar with you, sir. All right, all waiting for Don to come back. Does anybody have any other comments on the subject? All righty, so we'll hold on that one and go to our next question, which was, let's see now. Okay, our next questioner was KC2VRY. Jim, your question, sir. KTBA.
KC2VRY. Good evening, everyone. Question is, I recently hooked up my computer to my high-frequency radio, and I downloaded the Ham Radio Deluxe website and have that hooked up. And occasionally, when I key the mic, it causes the computer to crash, so obviously you get some interference coming and causing that. It does do it all the time, but I don't know if anybody had any ideas on that. Back to that.
Okay, let's do a couple of things here. What's the, when you say you're connecting your computer to your HF rig, let's talk about which interfaces are between the two. So this is a Q&A, so we're thorough. Are you doing rig control from the computer somehow to the radio, and are you using a rig blaster or some other interface to do that?
I used a serial port adapter with a USB connector to the computer.
Okay, you have a Kenwood radio. You can do that. That works. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Audio in and out of the radio and the computer, how is that happening?
Audio isn't going to the computer, the audio is just coming out of the speaker of the radio.
Okay, and are you using the computer to send CW?
Repeat that, please.
Are you using your computer to send Morse code? In other words, is there some port other than the serial port, or even if it is the serial port, to send Morse code?
Negative, just the regular phone.
Okay, so the only interface you have between the radio and the computer is the USB to serial adapter, the serial adapter to the serial port of the radio. That's the only connection between the two?
That's correct.
Okay. And what happens when you unplug the serial port from the back of the radio and then you transmit? Does it cause your computer? So your computer's still got the cable with the adapter hanging out there, but when you unplug it from the radio and you transmit on the radio, does the computer, take a flyer?
Never tried it, never noticed it. It doesn't happen all the time. It just occasionally it'll crash, and I have to unplug the computer to get it to start up again. And I never did try, I never noticed it crashing when it's not hooked up.
Okay, I'll keep in mind, I'm saying leave the cable connected to the computer. I just unplug it at the radio side. I'm just kind of curious, you're using HRD just to do frequency control then, right? That's the only interaction between the radio and HRD?
That's correct.
Well, it could be a couple of things. One is, it could be RF driven, as you're suspecting and suggesting. But it also could be, something goofy in the way the hardware and software are configured on the computer. And
causing some sort of conflict that eventually dumps the computer.
So how would you track this down? And it doesn't happen all the time. I can go for hours. It's like it didn't happen at all today.
Well, my gut feeling is it's RF-based. So, but if it's not, you would unplug your USB, or you leave it plugged in and, you know, use one of the USB port mappers to, you know, like the device manager, or the device manager going to USBs and going to serial ports and see where they, you know, to make sure that you don't have any conflicts. That's number one. Number two is that, are there ferrites on your serial cable between your radio and your computer?
Oh, nothing, just the cable.
You know, I would get, you know, a half a dozen of those round snap-on ferrites, and I'd put three at one end of the cable and three at the other. In fact, you might even consider putting two at each end of the serial cable and one on the computer end of the USB cable, just to make darn sure no RF gets in there.
All right, would I be able to pick them up at the Amfest Sunday?
Oh, absolutely, and probably for a better price you'd buy them at Radio Shack, but these are the things that look like small, half-sized sausages that snap over the cable. So, I would put two on one end of the serial cable, two on the other end of the serial cable, and probably at least two on one end, if not both ends, each of the USB cable.
What about six ferrets then?
Six or eight. Well, I'll give you some other things to sweat about. Put some on your power cables going into your computer as well, although that may be less critical. Put one or two there too. It is a little unusual, but you say it's intermittent, so I'm kind of taking the comprehensive approach to this thing. Just trying to see where we can knock it down.
All right, I'll pick some up Sunday and give it a shot, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not too expensive, go out and buy a dozen of them and just start snapping them on places. I'm just kind of curious, what band are you on when it's resetting? And also, what's the path of your coaxial cable with respect to your computer and its cables? In other words, you kind of want to run them in different directions.
As far as the bands, I never really paid attention to what I was on. It could have been 40 or 20. I don't know. Never paid attention to that. And as far as how the wires are run, it's just a mess of wires behind the computer.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts on this one? I mean, I thought this was going to be obvious, but maybe not. Maybe there's some other angle I'm missing. Okay. I think we're spot on then. All right. Well, I'll be there with, most likely with one or two sons or my wife at the Hamfest tomorrow. On Sunday, I mean. So we'll look forward to seeing you there. All righty. Anything else? Okay, let's go to K2ZC's question, Mr. Dave.
K2VAR, this is K2 Zulu Charlie. Good evening, everybody. Gordon, this question is specifically for you. I've seen you at the club meetings with your laptop at the Red Cross building. I just wondered, are you able to connect to an internet Wi-Fi connection there?
Not a Wi-Fi connection. I am able to get a 3G modem connection. So I have a cellular card that either plugs in or onto my USB port, as the case may be. And that's how I do it. It's a nice tool to have. You know, there's all sorts of answers to that. How can I help you?
The problem is on Sunday, next meeting, Dave, KTVSL, and I are supposed to give a demo on the ham radio deluxe remote hookup. And without an internet connection, I think we're just going to have to do some kind of simulation.
Okay, I missed that. I'm sorry. I got interrupted for a second by a little personal interrupt here for my son, which is very important. Sorry, I really apologize.
This upcoming Sunday, Sunday's meeting, Dave, KTVSL, and myself, we're supposed to give a demo on remote operation using ham radios deluxe. And without an internet connection, it's a bit of a problem. I guess we're just going to have to do a simulation. I've gone down there several times, pulled into the parking lot, and I get a strong signal from Optimum Online. All the bars are green, but it just won't connect. So without that, without internet connection, I guess we'll just have to simulate something. I can run a demo at ham radio deluxe, and I'll just record something to play over it. So I guess it'll look like it works. So I would have liked to have done the actual remote hookup to my radio here at home. Back to you.
Well, I think it's your lucky day. Plan as a backup your simulation. However, I have, if you have an Ethernet port, I can bring a cable. I have a router that you can just plug into and plug in your Ethernet port without any logins or anything like that. It'll just magically assign a port to you like you were home, and then off you'll go through my 3G modem, which plugs into the router. That was one of the little enhancements I did recently. I'm not sure if you're going to need to open up a port or anything for that, but I'm not worried about that terribly. If Dave K2DSL gets on or gets with me, or you get with me before, we can figure out how to take care of the port forwarding, etc.
Okay. I do have an Ethernet connection. I just use a little network, but there's an Ethernet connection on the side. So that's just what the RS-45, or is that what it's called?
An RJ-45 port. Yeah, I'll bring a cable and everything. So, you know, no big deal. In fact, the whole thing is really kind of cool. It also provides Wi-Fi connections, but we'll use a cable just to make it simpler. But basically, you'll plug into a router that's got an uplink that's a 3G cell modem.
Okay, and I'll do the simulation as a backup in case there's a problem, which there always is. But maybe we'll get it going with the internet connection. So I guess we can meet you there. I'll get there around 7 o'clock, I guess, on Sunday. Maybe we can hook up to that. I appreciate your help on this.
My pleasure, no problem. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions or comments about wireless, 3G modems or 4G modems, as the case may be, data forwarding, that kind of stuff. So, anybody have any questions about cellular data? Maybe that'd be a better way to phrase it. Okay, Joel, just for reference, it's a Cradle Point router, an MBR 1000. I bought a used one, works fine, runs on 12 volts. I have a cable that's set up for power poles, the truth is I can just plug the darn thing into a little battery and it'll run for hours on it. It's really kind of neat. So I can serve multiple computers as well as providing a local LAN among them. Alrighty. Let's go back before we take any more check-ins. You know what? I skipped over Charlie. W-E-2-R, I'm so sorry, W-2-T-T-T.
Oh, no problem, Gordon. W-E-2-R. I just wondered if anybody has a suggestion. I need a hands-free kind of headband magnifier for working on wiring kit boards and stuff. So I wonder if anybody has a suggestion on that. Back to net, W-E-2-R.
Anybody want to take that jump ball?
J-E-K.
I heard J-E-K and then one other. J-E-K first.
I know they make a thing with a fluorescent lamp that has a small circular fluorescent lamp, and it has a magnifier in it, and this thing has a gooseneck arm that it clamps onto a desk. That might be part might solve your problem. I don't know. Just you want something clips on your glasses to make stuff like that too.
Very cool. Who was the other station?
AB2XT.
John, go.
The question: how? What kind of a magnification are you looking for? You know, 3x, 5x, 10x.
I never thought about it. Just enough to see the circuit boards from, you know, a distance of maybe 8 inches or something like that.
Okay. Something I've used recently because of some, you know, change in my eye situation. I just went to the pharmacy and I bought the highest power reading glasses they had. This is not something I would normally want to read a newspaper because my nose would be too close. But it's perfect for soldering. And they were, you know, $19 for a pair of cheap 3X reading glasses, and they worked okay.
One other point about that, and that is they offer a nominal amount of eye protection. They're certainly not eye protection, but they offer some eye protection against things that go spit or leaves that you clip, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, for those who care, LeBron James is going to the Miami Heat, A, because he'll probably get to play with his buddies, and B, because he'll pay less taxes. Just thought I'd mention that. Anyway, back thank you for the little social interlude. Any other ideas on magnifiers?
Yes, KC2VAR. He probably can go to the hobby shop and find something that he could use there.
That's a good point.
Yeah, okay. I had wondered about the reading glasses. I might give that a try, and I'll check with the hobby shop in town. Give them a try. I hadn't thought of that. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Where is there a hobby shop in Teaneck?
There is one on Teaneck Road, just south of Route 4. Going south on Teaneck Road, it's on the right. I was in there once. I'm not sure what they have, but there's a hobby shop there.
Oh, neat. Okay. Good, good, good. Very nice. Alrighty. Just it's harder and harder to find hobby shops these days. By the way, Highway Hobby Shop is, I believe, gone at this point. You know, 5 minutes of silence. No, just kidding. Anyway. All right, anybody else with ideas on magnification and illumination for small, hard-to-see objects?
Yes, Jim again. The two places on Route 46 in the Teterboro Little Ferry area, you could try Quad Machinery, and you can also try Granger, and they're both on Route 46 westbound.
Good, again, a good suggestion. Granger and Quad Machinery. Anybody else?
This is Ken, W2EWL. Does Granger sell to normal people? I thought they were commercial. They've been pretty restricted in the past.
Yeah, but if you find what you want, I can buy it for you.
That's good to know.
They just don't give accounts to individuals, generally. You have to be a business to give accounts.
A2ZO?
Yes, Jim.
Just go to Sears. Sears sells a pair of glasses, which are safety glass. So that takes care of a pair of safety glasses, and they have a reader. The lower half of them has a magnifying lens, and you can buy them in any strength you want. For doing circuit board work, about a plus three diopter is seems to be just about optimum. And that kills two birds with one stone. Gives you a nice pair of safety glasses so you don't damage your eyes doing something, and allows you to see close up. And you can leave them on where you look across the room, because when you look up, you have a regular just zero diopter glass in front of you.
That's actually interesting, because I have like a 1.5 diopter, if I remember right, plus 1.5 prescription. So that's good. That's really good.
Jim, what department would that be in Sears?
I found them right in, as you go upstairs in Sears in Paramus. You want the thing and just go right into the hardware department, and just on the left, hanging up there, where the screwdrivers and everything else are the safety glasses.
Okay, thank you, WE2R.
Also, Sears has just a strictly a tool store in Midland Park on Godwin Avenue. You'd probably do better there.
Yeah, okay. I know where that is. It's right. My son lives right there. All right, I'll give it a try.
All righty. That's marvelous. That really is. Okay. Got a couple of good suggestions out of that. Anybody else about eye protection, magnification, illumination?
A2ZC.
Dave, go right ahead.
There, over the years, repairing TV sets, I've accumulated about three of these things called OptiVisors. And they're available at any electronic store or in a lot of hardware stores also. And it's just a band that goes around the head that's adjustable to fit your head. And it's a visor that has a lens in it that you can flip up and down. So I wear my glasses underneath it, so I can flip up the visor and I still have my reading glasses on. Or I can use my, flip it down and use it for close-up work. And I think the magnification is about 2.5 to 3 times, something like that. And I've got three of them here. One dates back about 30 years, and they're still good. They're plastic, but all the foam rubber is rotted off of a couple of them. But I swear I saw something like that at Radio Shack, too. And I think they're only like $10. Back to that. This is KCZC.
Yeah, I think you may be right. Very nice. Very, very nice. Radio Shack's not a bad way to go. But I must confess, I'm kind of partial to that suggestion that Jim Joyce pointed out at Radio Shack. At Sears, that's a really good idea. Magnification is almost perfect for me, as is. Alrighty, any other comments on this topic? Alrighty, we have any additional check-ins? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, we have a comment, K2ZO, go right ahead. Yeah.
K2ZO, K2BAR. Alright, let me give a comment here. Because July 4th was a Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, the Barra meeting has been rescheduled for this coming Sunday, as Dave pointed out. It's at the Red Cross building in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Doors open about 7. Meeting starts a little after 7:30, I would figure. And I hope to see you there. Please come down. It'll be a great time. Another announcement is the Sussex County Amateur Radio Club. Hempfest is this Sunday at the Sussex County Fairgrounds. It's really, really early, but it's a wonderful Hempfest, and the best breakfast sandwiches at any Hempfest is 100 miles of here, period. Ours are good, theirs are better, we got to take notes out. Anyway, always room for improvement, but I'm a connoisseur of the sausage, egg, and cheese, or better yet, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, at Hempfest. And Hempfest ratings depend highly on the quality of the breakfast. So, any other comments about this?
Okay, what? It's electrical, but doesn't bear with ham radio.
Say again, go ahead.
Okay, have you ever heard of soft start for an electric motor? I'm thinking of particularly for a air conditioner.
Yeah, what that is it's a damped draw so that you just don't, you know, all of a sudden, let's say a device sucks down 15 amps, you know, flipping a switch and getting a sudden inrush of current across your switch contacts. Things are damped a little bit using capacitors or switched resistors or some other device, depending on whether it's AC or DC. And it kind of limits the inrush current and steps things up over time. Excuse me. And it keeps your contacts alive and a little kinder to your other components as well. So, that was entirely appropriate to ham radio, but use them in amplifiers, typically. So anybody else have any comments about soft starting power supplies? Okay, K2ZO, do you have a comment? K2BAR.
No, I was out of the room. My son-in-law just came over here to borrow some ordnance. He's going to the range tomorrow. So I missed your other comment here.
No, you had requested to make a comment, and we had talked about the Barra meeting on Sunday, but we were just wondering if you wanted to make your comment.
Oh, okay. I thought you might even comment on what you were just talking about. Comment I wanted to make was that last week, if you remember, I mentioned something, a question about the extended double ZEP antenna, and I said, gee, you know, since it's got 3 dB, but it's bidirectional, what about putting a reflector? And, of course, Don had come up with some literature, and, of course, you know, anytime you think of something unique, you find out someone's done it before, and it was in literature back as far as 1938. But anyway, putting a reflector, 0.15 wavelengths behind it, will push most of the radiation in one direction, adding a few dB to the 3 dB you already have. So you get a very effective antenna very easily with a dipole, an extended double ZEP type dipole, which is twice as long as a regular one, and the wire behind it. So maybe that's what we'll try again on field day. We used a 40-meter one, but we didn't have a reflector on it. So anyway, just wanted to pass that comment on. This is K2ZO.
Okay, very good. So here's a question for you, Jim. Is the wire the same length, 5% longer, or just a half wave?
It's about 5% longer than the other, and then, so it's the same length.
Yeah, basically. Okay, very good. So, you know, standard Yagi style reflector, 5% longer, let's say in your case, 0.15 wavelengths behind it. John, you had done some modeling of that last week. Where did you come out as a refresher to everybody in the using the 0.15 wavelength? How did that square up for you in your modeling?
Well, I sent the charts to you and Jim. Did you guys get anything?
I did not. I apologize if I somehow missed it, but which day did you send them? Friday? I mean, Thursday last week?
No, I think I sent them, must have been Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Anyway, what I did figure out was that the optimum thing that I found in the modeling was that the reflector was to be 1.5 wavelengths longer than the driven element, and it should be about a quarter of a wavelength behind it.
Okay. So that's good. Anybody have any comments about that?
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Doug.
You know, I said I got the impression from the book that those, there were actually two reflectors, one behind each half-wave section. And they were spaced a quarter wave apart from the center of the antenna. So actually there's like two element Yagis, if you can think of it that way.
I'm sorry, Don, I got another phone call. I missed it. Can someone answer Don's question? My one son I hadn't seen in a while. The other son just does not understand what Thursday night at 9 o'clock means. But anyway, he should. But anyway, such is life. Let's see, Don. I totally missed your statement. I'm so sorry.
Okay, my impression from the literature, and I made a copy of it for Jim, is that they had two reflectors actually, each a half. 5%, a half-wave plus 5%. Like two, if you can imagine two element Yagis sitting with it, but the tip to tip is the, those are the, like the, like just two separate reflectors, 5% of a half-wave, let's say 69 feet for, let's say a 68-foot antenna or whatever. And those would be centered in back of the half-wave sections of the extended double Zeph. If you think of it that way, you have a half-wave section, and you have two eighth-wave sections, and then you have another half-wave section. And you want to put two, I get the impression, you put a reflector in back of each half-wave section. Jim, do you agree with that?
I think it was just simply the length of the double ends, the double Zeph, you know, two half waves plus 5% as one monolithic wire.
I got to go look at that again.
All right, well, you go ahead and do that and let us know. Just FYI, that's what John modeled last week, if I remember right. Right, John?
I modeled 5/8 wavelengths on each side with a reflector behind it, and the idea was to vary the length of the reflector, just a one straight piece of wire, to vary the length of the reflector to some degree and its distance from the driven element. So the driven elements of the regular, you know, the dipole was 5/8 wave on each side. I just found that from an article, and I modeled it for 6 meters.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So you didn't even, you know, extend the wire that much, if at all, but let's see what Jim Joyce's book research yields, and we'll go from there. His his wanting to recheck it kind of suggests that he may have something a little different along the lines what maybe Don had in mind. Alrighty. Anybody or anything else on the subject? AB2XT, you were using EasyNeck, right?
This is AB2XT, yes, that's correct.
And you're using the freebie version that comes with the antenna handbook?
Affirmative.
Okay, so that's good. Makes it simple to model and to understand and use. Not a complicated antenna. Alrighty. Anybody else with subjects on this one?
Maybe correct, Steve.
Go ahead, John.
If anybody wants the models that I put together, let me know and I'll email them to them.
Yeah, it's very thoughtful of you. That'd be super. Alright, I'm going to go review my email Tuesday and Wednesday morning and see where the heck it is. I apologize for missing it.
Yeah, I got the the information here.
Okay, Jim.
Okay, in the article, he's talking about the extended double strap, and as just as John was saying, it's 5/8 wave on either side. And although he doesn't show, here's what he said. It says, if a pair of reflectors are located behind this, an added bonus to be gained with this type of antenna is that it will also radiate well on other bands. And then he talks about reflector. If a pair of parasitic wire reflector elements is located behind the half-wave sections of the extended double ZEP. So the extended double ZEP has got a half-wave, then it's got another quarter-wave or something, and then, of course, the feed point. So Don is right. There are actually two separate wires. I didn't catch that. Located behind it. And it says if you do that, you'll get this, this will give a total theoretical gain over a half-wave dipole of about 6 dB, four times the affected radiated power. So that makes a big, big difference. It's almost like having a beam. So anyway, and it talks about the spacing between the elements and the reflectors should be about 0.15 wavelength. So that's what it talks about. So it's talking about that. So if you can model it with two half-wave wires, which are behind the 5/8, extended double ZEP, and they're directly, in parallel with the ends there, and open in the center. So that's interesting. Makes it a little bit more difficult, but I guess not that much. Just put a big insulator in there. That's it. Back to net.
Yeah, and the reflector wires don't have to be as long as we originally thought or as John modeled. Alrighty. So, John, two half waves centered and put a 0.15 wavelength behind the driven. And I guess they're just half waves on each side of that reflector element. That's kind of neat, or consisting of that reflector element with an insulator in the middle. Alrighty. Anybody more have more on wire antennas and things like that?
I think that those reflectors are going to be 5% longer than the half wave. When you figure out what a half wave is, and then you make it 5% longer. That's why they are reflectors.
I got you. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Go ahead.
Let me just understand. The half waves would start. They would be lined up with the ends of the antenna, not the feed point.
That's right. Because the actual antenna is a half wave plus like a quarter of a wave to make a 5/8 wave. And what he's saying is that they go behind the half wave section. So maybe 5% longer, but starting right behind where the so they'd be in parallel with the half wave section at the end. So, yeah, if you can model that, it'd be very interesting.
Okay, and that's 0.15 wavelength behind.
Right. And you got to remember, this stuff was done long before computers, so who knows?
I'll put that together and I'll send it out again.
Thank you, sir. That'd be great. That really would be great. Alrighty. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I think that we've beaten our brains in on this one. Jim, what's the date of the Barrow Fall Ham Fest?
October 9th.
Okay, very good. And that's excellent. And that'll be the second Saturday in October. And then, and I think that means that it's the weekend between my two scout outings. Yay. So I won't get washed out of that this year. That's good. And then, FYI, Crew 7373's Hamfest is going to be November 6th. And I have a date in April, but I don't know if I have a date yet. Off the top of my head, I think it's like the 9th or something, whatever that Saturday is in the morning. So another fine event overall. So good, good. Anybody else?
One more date to remember, Gordon, K2AMI.
Go ahead, Johnny.
BHF contest is September 11th, Saturday, and 12th, Sunday. September 11th and 12th. Remember, 9-11 will be the VARA VHF contest up at Colson now.
Is Saturday really the that day?
Saturday is 9-11, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, my dad died 9-11-96. And we buried him Saturday of the VHF contest. And my wife literally took me home after the repast and took me by the hand, said, go change your clothes, get in the car, and go to state line and operate until you can't see straight. And that's what I did.
Reflect back on the 9/11 and the terrorist attack. I was up at Colson Mountain. I could see the smoke coming from the World Trade area from Colson Mountain on that particular Monday morning, as it was. Also, I also can think back, what is it, 10 years?
Nine, but who's counting? It was a Tuesday morning, by the way, so I'm almost certain. But anyway, neither here nor there. It was a sobering time. Anyway, I think at some level it would be a good thing to do the VHF contest despite the day. I think that kind of celebrate something that's unique about America, that we have the privileges to do these kinds of crazy things. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions or comments, announcements?
W2JEK, I came back with the QST article. Doesn't seem like much there in the receiver. Asked John if he had a signal generator that he could apply a signal and see what happens in that respect.
This is AB2XT. Yeah, I made a crystal oscillator with 3.579. And it seemed pretty deaf to it.
Yeah, unless it's, I don't know. I answer the question. Can you make a gimmick capacitor into the where that diode is, and see if you can possibly see if it picks up at the point where the diode joins the two transistors.
You're saying inject it in there?
Just a couple of wraps around a wire or something, or I don't know just how you got that built, but just something with a little bit of capacitor and couple and see if you can get it in there.
I can do that. That's no problem. Just wide enough of a layout that I can mess around with. All right, I'll try that. I'll put a... do you think the crystal oscillator will be enough?
Oh, yeah. Regenerative is a very, very sensitive device. This isn't like the old tube-type regeneratives. This is basically an oscillator, but it's a controlled oscillator, and it's really you're rectifying everything with the diode. It looks to be almost like a half a direct conversion receiver. That's an unusual circuit.
Killer, as they call it, an ultra simple W1AW receiver. The parts count is low.
That's why they have problems sometimes.
All right, I'll take a look at that. I'll try injecting it right before the diode, and I'll see what happens. If anybody wants me to report back, I will. Otherwise, I'll see if I can make it work.
We want to know what you did to solve the problem, and then how well it worked.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll be ready next week.
Excellent. It's good to have you back, John. All right, any other questions for the net?
This is 2K.
James, good evening.
Not so much a question, but a comment. Yesterday morning at work, we got talking about an RCA TCR-100 cart machine. And one of the maintenance guys, who seems like he's been there forever, had never heard of the thing. talking about it later on today, I went to look on the internet and found some promotional recordings, an advertisement by RCA, and then another thing that someone had shot one of their machines in operation. And it's like, oh my goodness, we're going back so far in time here, it's really scary how old I feel. Anyway, NS2K. There's some great videos on the internet of this thing anyway. RCA TCR Space 100.
TCR Space 100. Okay, we'll look at that. Well, the other day, while we're feeling old, not everybody else can do this, but it was kind of amusing. One colleague of mine who's in his mid-20s was saying, I called this guy and I knew he'd been around a long time, and I asked him if he had time to talk to me, and he was very nice, and he was able to talk to me and blah, 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 blah. And he mentioned that, you know, he had been working on something about 35 years ago, and I realized that my parents were in high school and hadn't met yet when he was talking about this, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, I realized that, you know, he'd been around for a really long time, and that, you know, I was really, really new at this. And he's telling me this, and I'm listening. Some of the other colleagues are there. They're about the same age as him, maybe a hair older. And I said, I don't know. I was doing stuff around here 34 years ago, or in the industry 34 years ago, you know, getting paid for it, so what's the big deal? And at that point he realized that, some of us hide our age better, I'll just say that. Apparently my youthful approach to things made him not realize, or it hid are cloaked my years of experience, but I'm sure that happens to a lot of us in various fields of endeavor. It's kind of amusing. So I have a little fun with them with that, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Juvenile delinquents of all ages.
That is correct. All righty. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's RCA TCR Space 100, right?
Yeah, one of the ones that I particularly am shocked at is an RCA TCR -100A promo film. If you find that, it's like, I can't believe. Anyway, it's really scary how far. It's like early days of. But I was doing it back then. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, this is a related subject, so I'm gonna kind of revector this a little bit. There is a book which I recommend, either audiobook or in print, or on your Kindle or whatever else you use to read these days, or read, listen, whatever. It's called Wired for War by P.W. Singer, who's, by the way, younger than just about everybody on this frequency, including me. By a good bit, by the way. Anyway, P.W. Singer wrote this book, Wired for War, and basically what it's about is automation, AI, robotics, and the application to war, and how, but not just the application to war, but also how those things will evolve to the point where they will have huge storage capabilities, huge knowledge bases. So for the first time in creation, there will be more information stored in a non-human or non-biological entity or entities than was previously possible. And then, on top of that, it will have the ability to create improvements in itself and how it thinks, how it reasons over time. It'll be able to build, if you will, a smarter self, version 2+, etc. So it's really kind of neat when you think about that. Now the question is, how do you inculcate wisdom, but as opposed to just knowledge? And how do you inculcate values, human values, blah, 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 blah. So it's going to be very, very interesting how that works. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that. The speed of the technology is amazing. They're also talking about 1 and 2 terabyte hard drives that have no moving parts in the next few years. And my guess is once that happens, 10 terabyte drives, no moving parts, will be very, very possible.
Yeah, it's called Skynet for anyone who's seen the Terminator series. And yes, I just bought a USB stick, 128 gigabytes. $44.
Yeah, I actually like that idea so much, Jim, that I may actually replace my 8 gig stick with the 128 type that you have, strip off the case, stick it inside my machine, and do a daily backup of my system or of my data files onto that, right inside the system itself.
Yeah, I'm not fully willing to invest a great deal of trust in it. However, it appears to be some kind of it's not exactly the original product, I'll say. It doesn't have that look, feel, or quality about it.
Meaning the it's just not as reliable or as decent.
Oh, I don't know if it's reliable. It does work.
something might be something that's been cobbled together from other systems?
It would seem that way.
2JK.
Go ahead.
So it's you and your JK. Gordon, when you have Jim here, Jim, did somebody say at Kid Night the other night that the picnic is going to be on the 22nd of August, or it was the 15th was an error? Can you correct me on that?
I don't have any special knowledge.
I heard somebody say that. As a matter of fact, I changed it in my notebook. Somebody said the picnic was going to be on the 22nd of August. I know that Gordon had a conflict with the, I think you had a conflict with the 15th. Didn't you, Gordon?
Yeah, absolutely. So, somebody else chimed in. Who was that?
This is K2ZO. The picnic is August 22nd. It has always been August 22nd. I've always been telling everybody it's August 22nd. But other people have come up with other dates, which I don't know why. But it is the 22nd.
Yay. Good answer. And where is it, Jim?
At Wooddale Park, where it was last year.
The one with the little ponds in the middle.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Okay. Very good. So I have a question. Are we going to have an air launching contest?
I don't know.
Okay, how about if you want to put it up, not out. Okay, never mind. All right. Very nice. Okay. So I'm really glad and relieved that it's back on the 22nd. It has never moved from the 22nd. There was, some momentary disharmony over that, and I'm really glad to hear that it's an error. Okay. So we'll see everybody at Wooddale Park on the 22nd of August. And that's a beautiful thing, because I'll be back from all my summer adventures by then. So that's great. Alrighty. And let's see. What else do we have in the way of announcements? Okay. Just a note to K2ZC to talk to K2DSL. Let him know that I have a Cradle Point MBR 1000. A Cradle Point MBR 1000, or whatever administration we need to do to make sure that internet connectivity works for your demonstration. Just need to walk me through it, or be prepared to do it that night. Alrighty, anybody else with comments, questions, confusion? Alrighty. Well, very good. I'm really, really thankful for that. Speaking of which, we're looking for operators on the 15th, which is Sunday for the Round Pro Rally. Starts at Camp Gaw, ends at Camp Gaw. There's short routes and long routes, and there's rest stops to be worked, and there's shadows to be run. Basically, communications people who need to shadow other folks. There's sag wagons to ride around in or to relieve riders who might not be able to continue, and things like that. So we need communicators. So if someone's interested in that, please let me know. It would be awesome. It really, really would be awesome. We're also going to try something new this year. We're going to use DRATS, which is a package, a text communications package for written messages. I'm going to try that as well, a few other things too. So it should be interesting. Any other questions, comments, confusions? All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the net. Thank you, everybody. We'll see everybody on Sunday, and I'm going to run downstairs and let my bride know about the demystification of the Barrow picnic. She'll be a lot happier too.
if she wanted to work both events or enjoy both events as she has in the past. So that's a good thing. 73, and have a good one. Oh, just by the way, Barra has a new EMT in its midst, KC2SQV. Mr. James is now an EMT. He's just waiting for the paperwork to come, but he got his score online this morning, and he was very, very thrilled to find out that he is now, you know, squared up and qualified. Anyway, so 73. Everyone, I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio co-producer, Peter, and remind everybody to support both the Bergen County FM Association and the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, who graciously let us use their repeaters for our events. 7-3, and have a great evening, and go Nederland on Sunday. That's how I'm going to spend part of my day after the ham fest. Oh, yeah, yeah, what a busy day. 7-3. This is KQBAR W2 TTT signing clear 7-3.